Yeah, good morning. I don't want to say happy Valentine's Day, but happy Valentine's Day. I know some people don't like Valentine's Day or the gushy-gushy love stuff, but we have a God who loves us extravagantly. He's pretty gushy over us, his kids. Before I start the message, I'd like to share with you, I'm part of the creative arts team, and this morning, the Sunday is the first morning of Lent, Sunday of Lent, and the creative arts team will be focusing and drawing our attention to the Lord's journey of his death, his burial and resurrection. And when we prayed about our theme, we came up with the title, From Ropes to Ribbons. And if you know us Trinity Baptist from last year, we had ropes set up, and those ropes were used to symbolize unity, and that our boundary lines had indeed fallen in pleasant places. And despite the sense of discomfort that many of us experienced with those ropes, the ropes were intended to cause us to become aware of those around us and to make space for the stranger. And that it wasn't just us coming to church, but we were coming to see those around us. And it really drew us in, united us. And we've had a year of focusing on unity and what that means for us as a body. And so then we thought of ribbons. Ribbons have movement and they have flow. If the wind blows, the ribbons blow. It's not hard and restrictive. So this year we'll use ribbons on the stage to symbolize the power of the Holy Spirit and his enablement in our lives to freely move outward, doing the kingdom work that we're called to do. Just as we talked about the ropes drawing us in, we really feel like Lent this year we're moving outward, free flowing with the ribbons of the Holy Spirit. This Sunday you'll notice the red ribbons near the cross. Oh, that was a lot of work. It's like 400 yards of ribbon. I thought it would take up a lot more space, but that wire is pretty high. But these ribbons represent the love of Christ that ran red for our redemption. And this is the place that frees us. This is the place of extravagant love this morning. In a few weeks, we'll also be setting up stations of the cross around the peripheral of the sanctuary. And we'll probably put up some more ribbon on the wire. So we don't want to surprise you like last year. If you're a visitor, we didn't let them know about the ropes and what was happening to the sanctuary. But this year, we want to give you a heads up. But we will be bringing up ribbons. We're not going to put ribbons and block off the pews this year. But we want to use it as a symbol of the Holy Spirit moving and the vibrant color of the Holy Spirit work in us. Also, if you came in this morning, I hope you received a cookie. If you did not receive a cookie, there's lots at the back. We really felt like this year, this is from the creative arts team, we want to celebrate God's love for us. As I was making the cookies, I made a lot of them, and it was a little bit tedious, but I enjoyed it, and I kept making them, and I just felt like the Lord say, highlight the cookie, because really it just meant a lot about the Lord's work in our life, is that we walk with a hole in us, and that hole is the brokenness of sin, and the Lord comes in and pours his love in, his blood into us, and that's the red jam in the middle. And then he sprinkles us and fills us with his Holy Spirit, enabling us to do his work. And that's the message, really, this morning, as we're going to talk about it. And you will also have received a little card that you are loved. This year, Lent is about giving up, usually giving up something to remember the sacrifice of the Lord, giving up in terms of repentance. Lots of symbolism in there. People sometimes give up coffee or entertainment or whatever it is. Some people fast. But this year, as you do that, as you focus in on the Lord, we want you to show some kindness around you. We want you to not just focus in on yourself, but we want you to focus outward. And we want to encourage you to do some random acts of kindness for all of Lent. And to take a risk and give somebody a card. We purposely didn't put our information on there, who we are, or the Trinity Baptist, because that doesn't matter. What matters is that people encounter the love of God. And so that these cards are for you to give away. There's some more at the back on the table. But we want people to understand that there's no strings attached to our act of kindness, and that God wants to tell them that they're loved. As we worshiped this morning, I'll just share Romans 8:31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us when God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I thank you that you want to do a work in us this morning. I thank you that you have called us into unity and fellowship with each other. So I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move among us this morning. These are my simple words. But Holy Spirit, you want to do a work. You want to free us because of the Lord's extravagant love for us. Amen. So as we've been talking about showing up and what that means for us, as a spiritual body, I'm continually going back to the realization that we have a good Father whose extravagant love is immeasurable, who doesn't give us stones when we ask for bread, and who has prepared a banqueting table for us to feast on, and whose perfect love casts out all fear. Romans 8:15-16 says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. 2 weeks ago, I shared about the importance of realizing that we are all vital to the health and well-being of our spiritual body. There is no one here in this room that is more important than another person. And we shared last week that there's people in our midst of Trinity Baptist who can't make it to our corporate gathering, and they aren't as important. There's no one person that is more important in the body. We are all valuable to the body of Christ and this body. We are all called to show up and be a part of this family and to use the spiritual gifts that the Lord has placed in us. Two weeks ago, I shared the picture of eyeballs. If we were all just eyeballs and we would roll to the front and just sit and blink at each other, well, we can't just all be eyeballs rolling and blinking, nor can we just be ears sitting around and listening. All of us are absolutely necessary and essential. And we are not subject to being set aside or neglected. We're all valuable and important to the body. We've been using this analogy of a choir in our gatherings. It's been now 4 Sundays that we've used that analogy about our unity together, that we have one song that we sing and that we have different harmonies and different parts in that choir. And we're reminded that a great choir is only great when each part is functioning as a valuable part of the group. Each singer realizes that they are integral to the group and that everyone's part is important to making the choir sound good. When you hear a really good choir, you rarely hear just one person singing. Their parts begin to meld together. You hear the harmonies, and it's a beautiful piece of work. I found it very interesting that Asante Choir came here last week, and they sang about freedom coming. And they kind of carried us into the same choir mode. And I felt like that was applicable to us here at Trinity, that freedom is coming to us at Trinity. And we've been talking about that freedom. So this morning, we're going to talk about freedom in the Spirit. And like I said before, as I sat with this, the words love and kindness kept coming to me over and over again when I was sitting with the message. And so we got the love up there. We got the ribbon. So this morning, I want you to keep that in mind as we hear the message that God is for me and that he loves me. Freedom in the Spirit is the love and kindness of the Father who gave up his Son, Jesus, to die for all sin. Though we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, in his death and resurrection, promised to not leave us alone. Instead, he needed to go to his Father so he could leave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our aid, our comfort, our counselor, our advisor, our mediator, our intercessor. He's our advocate, pleader, our proxy, our defender, friend, and ally. The one who gives us eternal perspective. He gives us power. He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge to do the kingdom work that we are all called and equipped to do. If we believe in Jesus and the work of the Trinity, we are all called his disciples. And we are promised that we have been given by the Holy Spirit everything that we need to do the work set before us. This is the same power that was given to the early disciples. That same power is for us today as his disciples. But what stands in our way in this freedom of the Spirit? You can throw up the slide if you can see that. Tried to find a different one, but that's the one I found. This morning, I want to use this picture as a symbol of what happens and what stands in the way of walking in the freedom of the Spirit. So when I was little, this image on the cartoons, I don't know if anyone else saw cartoons like that. Donald Duck had one. He had the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. And these two things were at war with each other. And I didn't take any, I didn't think more anything of that other than it was a cartoon. It was funny. They would yell at each other. And yet what was explained to me was that this was our conscience, that we had a bad conscience and we had a good conscience, and they were constantly at war with each other. And they were trying to get you to do one thing or the other thing. And they were competing for attention. But what struck me as I was preparing is in Christ we are new creations and we're created for his glory. And in this place, fear has no power. This little devil on this side often was the fear factor playing the tapes that we didn't want to hear. But in Christ, we are new creations, created for his glory, and fear has no power. Here we have been enabled with perfect love that casts out all fear. In Christ, we live in perfect love, which casts out all fear. Not just a little fear, but all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So what is this fear that disables us at times and keeps us bound? Fear, it binds us. It seeks to keep us quiet, afraid, scared of what people will think of us. It tells us we're not good enough, and that we have nothing to offer. Fear causes us to compare the gifts others may have been given with what we have been given or not given. And this fear is something that I know really well. See, I used to think that this fear was just a part of me. It was just a part of the conscience, of my personality. Fear was just there. Fear of people, fear of making a mistake, fear ruled my life. It was like that little devil on my shoulder, and I just felt it was there and will always be there for me. That it was my lack of self-confidence, and it was me stopping me from doing the work that God had called me to do. I recently went to a conference on prophetic healing, and it was called Doing What Jesus Did. And the keynote speaker talked about us as disciples who are all called to be risk takers. And think about being a risk taker, there's a lot of fear in that. And so I was sitting there listening to him talk about taking risks, and I could sense this fear rising up. And I thought, well, that's just me. I'm just afraid of taking steps of faith or taking moments of sharing my faith with somebody else or praying for somebody. It was my fear. He shared how fear disables us from doing the kingdom work that Jesus commands us to do. John 14, 12 to 13. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This keynote speaker went on and shared that fear is not a part of us. If Christ lives in us, perfect love casting all fear, our fear doesn't live in us. It's not a part of who we are, nor how we think or feel about us. This fear is actually the enemy who wants to stop us from doing what Jesus did. He explained to the extent to which we feel afraid is actually not from us, but it is from the enemy who is afraid of us walking in the power and authority that God has given us. So we've been given this authority to walk in, and the enemy is afraid of that in us. So he will do anything he can to stop us from walking in that authority. It's the enemy projecting his fear of who we are. We're God's children, and the enemy is afraid of that, of who we are, because he knows what we can do with the authority in us. The enemy does not want us to walk in freedom of the Spirit. He doesn't want us to do his kingdom work. Whatever fear I believe or am convinced I have is actually the same fear the enemy has for us. So put it into an example. I usually get examples from my daughter, or I look around and God gives me examples, but I recently had an experience after this conference and really felt like I was asking the Lord, help me to take some risks with the authority that you've given me. Help me to take some risks. I want to be risky, and I don't want to listen to the fear that comes into play. So I felt I was to take a risk in praying for somebody I know. And it was one of those moments when I really felt the Holy Spirit directing my steps. So I met the person at their work, and I knew what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do. And so I was gearing up. Okay, I'm going to pray for this person's healing. And it was a pretty big healing. And it was like, it kind of looked foolish to even pray for it. But I felt like the Lord say, I want you to take that risk to pray for that person, for their healing. And so I met them at their work, and I was waiting for the opportunity, and this person was just a little bit distracted, kept pulling me this side, and then we'd go down into another room, and she'd show me something else. And finally, my friend took me into their main meeting room in their ministry. And I really felt the Holy Spirit was saying, pray for her. Pray now, like, pray for her. And I was like, well, I'll bring her into the kitchen and I'll pray for her there. No one will see what I'm going to do, like, pray for her or say. And then the Lord said, no, I want you to ask. There were some teens playing basketball in the room. And I felt like the Lord say, I want you to get her to ask all those teens to come. As you pray for healing for my friend. So I was like, wow, that's a big risk. And so I just said, okay, do it. Go get those girls and come over and I'm going to pray for you. And so they gathered around, and I said, I'm just going to pray for my friend's healing, that the Lord will totally heal her. And it just came out of my mouth. And then you think, oh, did I actually just say that? And then the fear comes, oh, what if it doesn't happen? What if nothing happens? That's the big fear. But this power came over me, and I proclaimed that one of the teens looks at me and says, can Jesus do that? Can Jesus heal? And I said, Jesus can do anything. Anything. That's who he is. And so I prayed with authority and boldness for my friend, and I prayed like never before and asked the Holy Spirit would come upon these teens. Because it wasn't just about my friend now, it was about these teens that were coming and gathering around, and I wanted them to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. That gives us authority to pray and take risks. And so I prayed for them that they would see the work of the Lord Jesus. After I prayed, the teens got up and went back to playing basketball. And that was it. No big things happened. They just went back to normal. But something in me shifted. In that place. Something shifted with the fear factor. I had to go pick up Paula and Phoebe at King's School right after that. But that risk caused the Holy Spirit to stir in me love and affection for those teens. I prayed and interceded all the way to King's School. I can be emotional, so I probably cried. I can't remember, but I prayed out loud. I prayed with boldness. I prayed for bold things of faith in that car all the way there. And so I pull up into the parking lot, which is at Gateway Church. King's School is right in there. And I pull up and park the car, and the Lord gives me a vision of something. And he gives me scripture. And I'm sitting in the car, and I feel the Holy Spirit go, I want you to send that to a pastor in the city. Oh, I type it up, and I hit send. And immediately, I felt fear. What had I just done? I had just taken a risk and prayed for healing and proclaim that Jesus can do anything to some teens that probably don't know Jesus. And here I sent an encouraging word to another pastor, and immediately fear fell on me. And I thought, this pastor is going to think I'm a nut job. Totally. That was the thought in my head. And I began listening to that. Began listening to that little devil on the shoulder. I began listening to this fear because it felt so familiar to me. It felt a part of me. It was my self-doubt. It was my insecurities. That's what it felt like. Who was I anyways? I wasn't spiritual enough. I'm not spiritual enough. This pastor is a big, big wig pastor. Who am I? Lowly Kenny. That's what I felt. What kind of authority do I have to share anything like this? I began to doubt that I heard correctly from the Holy Spirit. And this fear began to fester in me. And the power in me that I felt all the way to school diminished. And you know what? I didn't feel love anymore. I didn't feel love. I felt fear. I felt of self-hatred. Like, what did I do? I'm just lowly Kenny. I felt defeated. Even though I had taken great risks with the Lord and stepping out, even if I didn't see anything, I stepped out. And the Lord was proud of that place. He loves it when we step out and take risks. I had encountered a great enablement through the Holy Spirit. And I had now just succumbed to fear. See, the enemy was afraid of what I had just done. That wasn't me. The enemy was afraid of what I had just done and what I had just risked so that his glory may be shown in people's lives, so that his body would be edified and encouraged. And instead of kicking the enemy to the curb, I allowed that enemy to speak to me and to sit with me and to eat at the same table with my enemy there. I wasn't trusting in God's love and the truth that in fact the Holy Spirit was using and wants to use us to encourage and show people God's glory. I sat with that for a week. That was my week of paralyzing fear. And near the end of the week, the pastor emailed me and told me that the vision and scripture was indeed very encouraging to the things that they were going through, and it was spot on. Romans 8, 15 to 16, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Matthew 25, 14 to 27. This is a parable of the three servants. And I'll read it from the message because it bears a similarity with my experience with fear. Let's read it in the message. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He calls his servants together and delegates responsibilities. To one, he gave $5,000, to another, $2,000, to a third, $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled the master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with a single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given 5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well, and from now on, be my partner. The servant with the 2,000 showed how he also had doubled his master's investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. The servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demanded the best and made no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last drop, cent. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. These three servants were given responsibilities, each according to their ability. So the master knew their ability. He gave them responsibility according to their ability. The man knew that each servant was capable and able to get a return for the money given, and that each servant had the ability to work equally hard. The man knew that the third servant had it in him to take a risk. The man knew that each one of these men had the ability to take a risk. And yet the third servant allowed fear to rule over him. He was afraid of not measuring up, being a disappointment to his master. And more importantly, he was afraid of his master. He was afraid of his master, even though the master believed in his servant. The master believed in each one of those servants. And yet this third was afraid. Maybe not so much as at the task at hand, but he was afraid of his master. And are we afraid of our master? Are we afraid of a good, good father who loves us and has called us to good works, kingdom work? How often are we like the third servant, afraid of taking risks with the Spirit and the things he is asking us to do, calling us? He's equipped us, given us everything that we need according to our ability. When the Lord has given us gifts to use to bear fruit and bring increase for his glory, we would rather risk loss like that third servant, or be afraid that our actions will make us look foolish. Maybe that third servant thought, man, what if my investments fail and I'll look foolish in that place? At least he took a risk. So often we choose decrease or what is least than trust in the Lord and what he's calling us to do, because he's given us gifts and talents to use for his kingdom. Freedom in the Spirit is the understanding that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do good works. And this is risky business. This is not for the faint at heart. But our call as believers, as disciples, is risky business, where we step into the great adventure of trusting God's Spirit to reveal to us the things that we are called in advance to do. I'll say that again. This is risky business, where we step into the great adventure of trusting God's Spirit to reveal to us the things that we are called in advance to do. Love. I think it all comes down to love. Do we believe our good, good Father has given us good gifts to use? And are we afraid of him? Are we afraid that God will disappoint us if we take a risk? or that God won't show up if we take a risk and use the spiritual gifts in us for his kingdom. 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." How great is his love that ran red on the cross. How great that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, children of God. Matthew 7:9-11, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then know, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So do we believe that God's love loves us enough to care for the things he is calling us in advance to do? Does he love us enough to care for the things that he's calling for us in advance to do? Did I believe that God loved me enough to give me boldness and risk to pray for my friend and invite others to come and witness this risky prayer? In the world, I looked, that would look pretty foolish to pray for something so big. But in the Spirit, I was empowered because what it birthed in me in that moment was love for others. It birthed in me something that I couldn't make up. This love, I couldn't make it up. And as I remembered these two cartoon images of the devil and the angel sitting on the shoulder, I asked myself, who do I listen to? Who do we listen to? I listen to that fear. I listen to the enemy who speaks things to me. But I can't listen to that. We're called to push that aside. Kick him to the curb. Kick him off your shoulder. He has no authority to speak to us like that. Beating us down, speaking doubts and lies. Or do I listen to the Holy Spirit? That's not just an angel sitting here, but a Holy Spirit that's in me and in each one of you, who's equipped you to do the task at hand, of doing the kingdom work that God has set aside for you to do. The Holy Spirit, who is our aid, our comfort, our counselor, our advisor, our mediator, our intercessor, our advocate, our pleader, our proxy, our defender, our friend, and our ally, that is who lives in us. That's who lives in us. So why are we afraid? And why do we listen to the enemy? Because he knows who we are and who lives in us. That's a big list of things. It's a big list of equipping things in us that we can trust. Our Father in heaven is faithful. He is a faithful God. He's a good, good Father. And he gives us good gifts to use for his glory. Good gifts. So let's be bold in asking him for all that he has for us. Let's be bold in taking risks for everything that he has for us. I want to remember, when I remember that time, that experience about praying for my friend and the incredible love that I felt, I want to feel that in taking risks for other people. I don't want to feel the other stuff, the fear stuff, the doubt stuff. I want to be quick in my spirit to understand what's happening so I don't let it go on for a week in my humanness. So our Father in heaven is faithful to give us good gifts to use for his glory. So let's be bold in asking him for all that he has for us, even this morning. He's got good things for you this morning. He has set the banqueting table for us to feast on in his spirit. He's not given us stones to eat. He He's given us a banqueting table to feast at. And he is inviting us into the freedom of his Spirit. Freedom of his Spirit. Let's stand together. Yeah, I'll just invite Brad up. Yeah, let's pray together. Yeah, Father, you know us full well. You know our comings and our goings. You know the secret things in our hearts. You know everything about us. But what you do know, Father, is that your perfect love lives in us. And that perfect love casts out all fear. And so this morning I ask, Father, that we would encounter your extravagant love. That in this place, fear would have no place. We kick the enemy to the curb this morning. So you have no right and no authority amongst us. And may we believe, as your children, that you have equipped us with everything that we need to do your work. That you've equipped us with power and authority. The same power that raised you, Jesus, from the dead lives in us. And it's active and ready to use. So would we believe that this morning, Father? We want to believe that this morning. And we want to walk in that place, Lord, of power and authority. Yeah, amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to this message. So this is what we're going to do. If you need to go, be blessed and released. I'm going to actually ask if you could come. Yeah. We're going to just have a quiet time of worship to continue. Don't feel bad if you got to go. But we wanted to open it up for prayer ministry time. If you are in that place where you know the Lord's calling you to things, but you're really grappling with that fear, that front-end fear of stepping out into something new. You know, as Kenny was preaching, I was just reflecting on Acts 2 when the apostles, the Holy Spirit comes. The apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they look absolutely silly to the world, don't they? They pour out into the streets, they're speaking in tongues, and some people are like, are they drunk? Right? And so sometimes I'd love to tell you it's going to be okay. But sometimes, you know, when we step out and the Holy Spirit's filling us, sometimes we look a little silly. But that's part of the risk. Amen? Sometimes we have to risk looking silly in order to step into freedom. Amen? And we really want Trinity to be a free and safe place for people to explore giftings and callings. And you're okay if you're experimenting and figuring things out and it doesn't come out right and it sounds silly and you're working it out, that's okay. We just want freedom for the body of Christ to move. Amen? Okay, so if you want that freedom, you're stepping into new things, we'd love to pray for you. Just come to the front. We're just going to worship a bit longer. And if you just, you know, if you even just want to turn to somebody beside you and say, hey, could you pray for me? Guess what? That part of the body gets to use their spiritual gift, right? So you can totally do that. You don't have to come to the front. But we just want to encourage you. If the Holy Spirit's touching you, you want to respond to that message, come and we'll pray for you.